Yo, yo, yo. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Podbay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Jim? Can you feel it?
Oh, it's feeling it. I'm totally feeling it. I'm avoiding a sin flood of statism. Thank you.
Well, that's always a difficult thing to do. So what's going on in your world? What's the new thing? I hear there's something coming up, what is it, next week, something like that? There's some little campfire or some get-together or something like that?
Oh, yeah, it's over there in the Shire. A couple libertarians are getting together around a campfire to celebrate a week of not being governed. So it's called the Porcupine Freedom Festival. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, you and I got to have a great time there last year. And I wish you were coming this year. But evidently I'm going to have to try to do without the Lou Fiend this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, when you say a couple libertarians around the campfire, that sounds scary.
It is. Possibly one or two of them might even be armed. I don't know. You know, I have no idea.
Armed? But, you mean like with bacon?
There could be bacon, but it's not that kind of pork fest. It's the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which does have a lot of the other kind of pork. No, there's no denying that. But yeah, this is, I think this year there might be like 2,000 people there. I think they've like actually run out of campground space completely. They brought in extra showers. I don't know. Should we be concerned when they tell us to go to this big camp and they tell you to go to the showers? I don't know. Should I be concerned about that?
Oh, no. Nothing wrong there. Yeah. So they even sold out of the RV spaces?
Well, last I heard, they were very close to that, which is definitely a change over previous years where they would be like whole empty rows back there. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be pretty stuffed.
Yeah, because I think last year, only about half, maybe a little bit more than half of the RV and camper space was taken up. But all the tenting areas were full for most of the time. I got the third to last available campsite. When I ordered.
Nice. Yeah, it gets bigger every year. It's so big now. I mean, I don't know how they're going to continue to do it at this venue, but I don't know. Somebody wants a good business venture, build a campground that can house about 5,000 libertarians.
I hear CNN is going to be out there this year too.
Yeah, yeah, why not? You know, there's always some media there, but I think this year it's going to be one of those embedded reporters, you know, like presumably waiting until that like drunk person who, you know, looks a little weird walks by, and that person will now represent an entire movement.
Okay, so by embedded reporters, you mean they'll be dressed in cop black T-shirts like the libertarians and eating bacon all the time and...
It's possible. You never know who they're going to be. They could be undercover like that, or they could just be surrounded, you know, like the way they go to battle over in the Middle East, you know, like Brian Williams was embedded when he took when he took fire and was forced to land.
Oh, so. Yeah. Back when Allied forces went into Berlin. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, he was there on D-Day, you know. But hopefully this reporter won't take any fire or be forced to land in any way.
Yeah, I think most of the media reports that came out of Porkfest last year were neutral to positive. I don't think there was anything really glowing, and I don't believe that there was anything that was just absolutely, those guys are lunatics and need to go to the showers.
Well, you know, who cares? I don't really care. But there was like a photo essay, and I don't know if it was Time Magazine or one of those like barely still relevant old media dinosaurs. And they, you know, like, oh, look, it's a fat guy. You know, like, okay, there's a guy with a beard.
guy with a beard wearing a cap black T-shirt.
Like, you know,
easy to find.
You know, it's like they will find some of the weirdest people to take pictures of. And, you know, so whatever, you know, who cares?
Yeah, maybe a guy with a mohawk running around with a shotgun over his shoulder with a plastic flower sticking out of the end of it.
What you know, he was very photogenic last year. So I hope he ups the ante this year. I don't know how he could outdo that look, but that was a good look.
Maybe he'll be in the loincloth like the one guy.
He was in the Agorist Pitch. I don't know if you saw that competition. They have the Agorist Pitch, which is that entrepreneur's challenge, and he got up to do his presentation, and Dorothy whispers over to me, he's like, oh, he's got a business idea for a new larger loincloth.
But what about a longer leash?
I think this is a leash-free zone. I don't think there's going to be many leashes present.
Okay, well, that'll be nice. So, what other stuff is going on? You sent me a bunch of stuff, a little bit of tyranny today or tyranny all the time. What's going on in Philadelphia?
Well, in Phenadelphia, as I like to call it, it's a wonderful city, but like any city, it's got these central planners, and I don't know, somehow they think they can just run everything and it's going to work out okay. And you know, normally they're, you know, the city survives despite their efforts, but in the fall the Pope is going to come do a visit in September, and they're like, oh, this is going to be like another like 1 or 2 million people dropped on the city for a weekend. So, like, okay, that'll be interesting, right? Now, normally you say, well, this would be a huge opportunity for the businesses of Philadelphia. Like, everybody should really cash in. But it seems like the mayor has figured out everybody's transportation needs. It's like, you can't just, like, show up at the train station and take the train in. You're going to need somebody. He's already, like, briefed people. You're going to need somebody to drop you at the train station because there'll be no parking. And, you know, there'll be no parking downtown. And there'll be a shortage of transportation. And they've cracked down on Uber to make sure there's not necessarily enough Uber drivers to go around. So just getting in and out of the city for this is going to be a total nightmare, not just for the tourists, but for the people that do business there, or the people that are trying to get their dialysis treatment or go to the doctor or visit their cousin. It's going to be a nightmare. So, you know, but that's the way these central planners do it. So I don't know. Perhaps you would like to come visit during that period just to see the mayhem.
Not based off of what you just said. But this parking at the train station that's not going to be there, what's up with that? Are they moving the parking from the train station to a different location to accommodate the Pope's visit or something? What's up
with that? I think they just realized there's not enough parking going to be there. Like, there's not enough.
I thought maybe they were going to close down the parking lot during this peak time.
That is the kind of thing they would do, just to say, well, you know, it's a good time. You know, I'm almost hoping for another SEPTA strike. SEPTA is the government mass transit operation. And SEPTA has a real reputation for just being god-awful. I mean, it is just so sad for people that have to try to rely on this. And they go on strike regularly. And
sounds like the city buses in Detroit.
Yeah, it's just, you know, first of all, they've made sure there's a monopoly on this kind of transportation. They've outlawed shuttle buses, and they actually did a sting operation against Uber. They, like, they went undercover and busted Uber for daring to offer rides to people that wanted to buy them. So they really crack down. They make sure that the city owns all the parking lots. and restricts access to anybody that wants to open a competing parking lot. So they've got this artificial shortage of parking in the city. They've got an artificial shortage of transportation options in the city. And of course, this maintains their high prices. But of course, the SEPTA people are like, well, I guess you're really out of luck if we go on strike. Let's see what we can do about a new pension this year. You know, so every year they've got more demands. And it's just, I mean, that's just the way it goes when you have this type of I'm not going to say he's the worst mayor of Philadelphia, Mayor Nutter. I mean, compared to previous mayors, Mayor Nutter hasn't actually bombed his own city yet. So he's a step above some previous mayors, but he's really doing what he can just to make things miserable for poor Philadelphians.
Well, a politician hasn't proven that he owns the city until he drops a bomb on his subjects.
That's right. It's my city, and I'll drop a bomb on it if I want to. Of course, we're talking about the MOVE bombing of back in the 80s. A whole city block was destroyed.
But they were bad neighbors. They were making excessive noise.
Well, I think they had some unlicensed chickens in the front yard and perhaps some kids running around. I don't know. You know, they may have they didn't mow their grass. I don't know what they did.
You know, it's kind of interesting when stuff like that happens, and you'll, of course, have the bootlicking Tories that will always defend the police and say, well, they were breaking the law. They were, you know, making too much noise, yelling on megaphones. They deserve to get dealt with. And it's not very often that they'll just come right out and say they deserve to be murdered in cold blood, because not too many people will actually say that. And of those that will say it, or of those that will think it, I don't think very many of them are willing to actually do the violence themselves. So they enjoy the violence by proxy, also known as government.
I think that's a good observation. But, you know, we have so many cop videos out now of police brutality. You read the comments and it's shocking what people are actually thinking. They will actually say, you should get beaten up for not respecting the police. You didn't show enough respect. He did the right thing by breaking the car window and pepper spraying you, you know? And that guy had the stroke. Remember him? He's like, well, you know what? Sure, he was having a stroke, but he didn't respond to the cop. So, of course, he gets pepper sprayed.
Yeah, when a cop is talking to you, you stop having a stroke. If you don't want your window broken and pepper sprayed and tased, you make sure that tail light is working properly.
More Freedom Fiends. Don't have a stroke.
Yeah, more Freedom Fiends right after this.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Yeah, we are the good guys. Hey, this is Freedom Fiends. This is Lou, and I'm joined by Jim Babb. And I'm going to interrupt this Philadelphia tyranny today. It's not Philadelphia yet. Not until libertarianism takes over and leaves everybody alone. I got a freedom fix, so interrupting the tyranny today with a freedom fix.
Bring it on.
I was just down the failed state project last weekend of Detroit, and I went down and I got a chance to talk to Dale Brown and some of his employees from Detroit's Threat Management Center, and it's very inspiring. It's very positive. Did a full interview with Dale, and I don't know, got about 45-50 minutes interview time with some of his employees. Is really neat. But the even more freedom fix is, you remember my buddy Tom that I was at Pork Fest with last year?
Yes.
Okay. He had a surprise birthday party on Saturday, and the one of the big surprises for him was that I showed up, because he was up here for work just the weekend before, and he says, so when are you going to make it down to Detroit again? I'm like, oh, I don't know. It's going to be a long time. You know, I was hoping to be down there, you know, in a couple weeks or so, but that's not going to happen. So, yeah, probably not going to happen until August for Liberty Fest. And he's like, oh, man, bummer. And showed up at the place where the party was and, you know, hey, surprise, how you doing, birthday girl? But the real freedom fix is Brewery Becker in Brighton, Michigan is now accepting Bitcoin.
I heard about this. Outstanding.
Yeah, and you just go over, they have their little QR code on a tablet-looking device, scan the QR code, done. And you have to eat and drink first, but you know, after you do that, then you can pay.
And now, I asked Tom about this. I said, well, let's get to the important part. How good is the beer? And he said it was very good. So
I'm not much of a drinker, but I had a Hefeweizen there, and I don't know that I can say it's as good as Germany, but it's as close to Germany as you're going to get outside of Germany.
See, we have a brewery in Philly that's been accepting Bitcoin for over a year, maybe 2 years now. It's been a while. But I just don't like the beer. It's like, dang.
So could you, I don't know, like get them to make the beer better?
You know, that's up to them. I mean, we've got a, you know, huge competitive market of breweries around here, as most places do. But I don't know. I really wanted them to be my favorite brewery. You know, I'm like, this is going to be great. It's going to be my new favorite brewery. I'm like, oh, well.
Well, part of Tom's activism is going out and encouraging businesses to accept Bitcoin and get involved in the Bitcoin community. So, yeah, you know, it's a way to expand the usage of Bitcoin, get the knowledge out there about Bitcoin, and really move people towards this alternative to the fiat Federal Reserve government dollar.
Hey, the more the merrier. I love to see more places I can spend Bitcoin. And I'd like to see like whole communities develop. Like, I don't want to just see one brewery. I want to see that brewery, and then I want to see like other bars that buy kegs from that brewery accept Bitcoin, so they can accept Bitcoin from their customers, then go buy kegs with the Bitcoin they get, and then have that brewery go buy their grain from a farmer that accepts Bitcoin. You know, just build the, you know, the whole food chain around it. So people are like, what? Federal Reserve notes, you know, don't really need that so much. Yeah, I'm not really sure what taxes I owe. I don't know.
I just flip the IRS a couple Satoshis every 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, exactly.
That should keep them happy, right?
Well, I mean, traditionally, don't they just take whatever they feel they deserve?
I think for the most part, yeah.
Right, so why should I have to waste any brain power on it when they're just going to take what they'll just take whatever they think their cut of my earnings are. Yeah, why should I question that?
Just wait until the IRS cleans out your Bitcoin wallet and says you didn't file your paperwork. but actually, I don't think that the IRS could clear out a Bitcoin wallet. It's pretty difficult for people to hack a Bitcoin wallet.
You know, but yet we've seen, you know, them steal a lot of Bitcoin. So yeah, we can get into that when we come back.
More Freedom Fiends on the good side.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Freedom Fiends. Yeah. So yeah, Philadelphia, central planning problem. I'm looking at an article here, and this talks about Philadelphia announces transit plans for papal visit. Apparently there's a funny hat show going on in Philadelphia. And a quote from the mayor is, "So, what you would normally do to go to an Eagles game or something, forget that. This is different. Because, obviously, going to, you know, you guys just haven't perfected going to an Eagles game or something. So you have to do something different now." So what's up with that, Jim?
You know, I don't know. I'm thinking it's a good time to steer clear of the city. And I mean, but maybe we should just trust the mayor, right? You know, like he's got our best interest at heart, right? You know, he's a smart guy, right? Maybe we should just let him figure out the transportation needs of several million people for the weekend, right? What could go wrong?
Well, in his defense, it's probably not him doing that, because he's probably busy doing like more important stuff, like meeting with, I don't know, campaign contributors, things like that.
Right. Yeah, he's got important photo opportunities, stuff like, yeah. So
assisting those cronies to engage in commerce and possibly even helping to stimulate the economy through Keynesian redistribution schemes. Yeah, well, things like that.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe he's going to be teaming up with the Pope, because I see things from the Pope about how the Pope is giving like economic advice now. Did you hear about that? How people need to reduce their consumption and things like that. I think the Pope is, you know, maybe teaming up with some of these central planners, like they've traditionally done. I guess in the past, sometimes the Pope and the King team up, sometimes they butt heads. You know, it's all about, you know, having somebody at the helm who knows what's best for everybody. And, you know, we're being told that we're consuming too much and we better just get ready for the shortages that socialism will inevitably bring. So,
yeah. And the particular book of the Bible that the Pope is reading from, I believe, is called the Book of Marx or the Book of Keynes, one of the two.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really interesting. And the Pope is a socialist and he is completely economically illiterate, but I repeat myself. The socialists had previously praised how socialism was, as an economic system, was going to bring prosperity for all. You know, a car in every driveway and a worm in every pot. And when it turned out that that couldn't happen, the banner dropped, like in 1984, and then they got on with the immorality of overconsumption, which I'm not really sure what overconsumption is. And based upon the fact that for the lot of human history up until really not even 100 years ago, in less than 100 years, that scarcity was such a major thing that people strived to be able to be 5 pounds overweight. People strived to be, you know, gluttonous by having more than one television. When my father was growing up, there weren't televisions in every room of the house. You were fortunate if you had one television. And now these things have become so affordable that people can have them mounted on the walls in various rooms. They even have in the kitchen as they're cooking and watching.
I can watch TV on my phone. I mean, yeah. Obviously that's over-consuming, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it's horrible. But strangely enough, it doesn't really come from the left, this whole idea of over-consumption, as they call it. It really goes back to the Puritan era, because the Puritans thought that anything that was fun was evil. They made the town elders of Footloose look like the people at Porkfest. And just anything fun is bad. It is the lot of life of humans to suffer in this world. And that's really where a lot of this stuff originates from. And then when the socialists found out that their utopian system could not provide prosperity for all, then they adopted the, well, we have to consume less. You know, it's a moral issue. Or, you know, there are so few resources that we have to use them sparingly. And I'm not one of these people to believe that we're in a post-scarcity world. There will never be a post-scarcity world. Sorry to all you RBEers out there. But we are at a point to where scarcity is not such an issue that we have to economize every single last freaking resource out there.
Well, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, we were kind of making fun of the Pope because he was giving out economic advice, but he also gives out good scientific information.
Excuse me, Jim. He wasn't giving out economic advice. He was preaching socialism. There's a difference.
Well, he, you know what? He's also been giving out scientific knowledge, quote unquote. So a lot of people go to the church when they want to learn about science, too. That's traditionally has always worked out well. And, you know, I just hear that he says it's wasteful consumption and fossil fuels driving climate change. So, you know, he's on board. He's on board with this. You know, let's all get scared about fossil fuels. So, you know, if he is infallible, right? Isn't that what he's supposed to, isn't that part of his job description? He gets to be infallible. It's not just hats he gets.
Well, actually, as Pope, he is supposed to be the person that is closest to God. Not that God had any choice in the matter, because it was the College of Cardinals that elected Francis. So I'm not really sure how he was bestowed upon this power, because I knew if the Cardinals don't have the ability to be closest to God, how can they grant that ability to the Pope?
But when we vote, don't we like summon these mystical powers that we don't have as individuals? But when we come together and vote, we have like a superior morality that allows us to do all kinds of magical things.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's from the book of Social Contract.
Right. So, I mean, let's face it. If you know, God invented voting so we could manifest his will, right? So not only are the cardinals doing God's will by electing a pope, but, you know, when we have elections here, it's our duty to God to participate and make manifest his I'm sorry, I can't go on. Just kidding. Yeah. No, I don't believe any of that stuff.
On a little side note, I'm hoping to do an entire episode in the character of Choke Chain Lou. So instead of Longer Leash Lou, I want to be Choke Chain Lou. But I just can't bring myself to talk for more than a couple minutes like a diehard hardcore status, you know, like a Mayor Nutter. But anyway, getting back to the visit and the actual central planning of the visit. So, you live in Philadelphia, or at least in the area. When it comes to getting around the city for concerts and football games, and maybe you have some of these things going on at the same time, I know that that happens in the city of Detroit, and somehow, you know, Detroit manages to survive. So if Detroit can, it seems like Philadelphia could. So what exactly do you think, or do you know for a fact, is the motivation for changing the way that things traditionally work and work fairly well? Or is it just always every Sunday is a mess in Philadelphia?
Well, you know, it's always a mess, but, you know, let's face it, you know, people are going to do what they want to do. The human capacity to route around the damage we call government is enormous. So whatever they throw in our way, like it could be a SEPTA strike, it could be a parking shortage, it could be a train shortage, people still find a way to have all the fun they want to do. You know, humanity will not be stopped by a couple petty politicians who are trying to screw it up for everybody. The fun goes on. Everybody, you know, it's just inconvenience, but the government, it literally is just, it's a damaged part of the system and you route around it. That's all.
Okay. And one of those alternative options to the SEPTA system, which is substandard, I think would be a polite way of putting it. One of those alternatives is Uber. And give us a brief synopsis of Uber for anybody that's been living under a rock.
Well, you know, before we get into Uber, I just, you know, I think I should be fair to SEPTA, okay? You know, I like to make fun of them a lot, but there are people that rely upon SEPTA, and it does play a key role in the city. Without SEPTA's stairwells, the hobos would have nowhere to use the bathroom. So there is an important role that they play.
Well, if I could jump in for a second, there are people that rely on the Detroit Department of Transportation, the city bus system, to get to work in Detroit. They're called unemployed.
Please
continue.
Well, there's a whole group of junkies that just get on the subways in Philly and just ride. It's a place you can just pass out from heroin and just, you know, I guess better than being on a sidewalk somewhere. So there's another key benefit of SEPTA there. But
well,
Uber,
nice.
You mentioned Uber, and of course, I'm a huge Uber fan. For those that don't know, it is a ride-sharing service. It's kind of like a taxi, only so much better. You get an app, you get the Uber app, and I think Lyft is a similar service, a competing service. But you get the Uber app. Once you sign up for the service, you pull it up and you say, oh, I need a car. And it'll show you on a map where the cars are, tell you how many minutes it's going to take to get your car. The car shows up usually within a few minutes. You already know the driver's name, what the car looks like, his photo. You could read other user reviews of the driver, so you know who you're getting, what the car is. And my experience is limited, but it was exactly the same almost as if every other person I know that's taken Uber. The vehicle is going to be spotless. The driver's going to be extremely professional. Everything works smoothly. Payment is already prearranged, so it goes to your credit card or PayPal or something. You're not even exchanging money with the driver, so it's safer for the driver. It's a wonderful service. And of course if you're running a transportation cartel, that's a problem. So Philadelphia authority figures are not too keen on it, but they haven't been able to stop it. So
it's not like they're able to stop anything, really. I mean, you know, cannabis is illegal and there's no amendment guaranteeing the right to keep and bear weed, but that stuff's everywhere. Traffic jams, where capitalism and socialism collide. More Freedom Fiends after this trip to the non-socialist market.
Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 3rd Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan from August 7th through the 10th. There will be vending, discussions, presentations, all sorts of activities for children and adults, and bacon, lots of bacon. Round up your friends and family and get them registered today at miplc.org. That's miplc.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended. This is the Freedom Fiends. Hey, this is Lou and Jim, and we've been talking about It's Always Socialist in Philadelphia. And let's put some sunshine on Philadelphia. Let's get some redemption in the third act. We've talked about how Uber solves the problem of the government-controlled transportation system, or at least the government in cahoots with crony-controlled fascist transportation system. What other things are going on in Philadelphia to offset the silliness? And unfortunately, you can't just like lay out a parking lot to solve that problem, but what else is out there?
Well, we have a huge number of people in Philadelphia that just don't care what the politicians do. They're going to do what they want to do anyway. All last year, we had Smoke Down Philadelphia events where people gathered in the park to openly smoke marijuana, to just say, you know what, the law's wrong. We're going to do it anyway. We don't care. Eventually, the politicians are like, oh, I guess maybe we should stop putting pot smokers in jail so much, you know. But people, it's like, I don't even care what they do. So there's a great attitude of people that are willing to just work around it. They do what they have to do. The taxes are really high for those that comply, but there's a, you know, everybody knows how to sort of get around them. So the harder these central planners try, the more people say, you know what, the heck with that. I don't need you. I don't care what you're going to do. I'm going to have my fun regardless. And so Philadelphia's a great city. So while I make fun of the central planners for what they try to do, it is a fantastic place to be, and that's why I call it Phenadelphia.
You know, it's kind of like in Star Wars when Princess Leia said the tighter you make your grip, the more star systems will fall through your fingers.
Exactly.
And there's a thing in Detroit similar to Smoketown, except it's in like all the parks all the time. It's called Daily Life.
There you go.
Yeah. But, you know, what's really interesting is when people engage in this disobedience, and I'm sure some of them are doing civil disobedience and not just plain old disobedience, what it really shows people, or what it really shows the officials, the authorities, is that the peoples are the rightful master of government and not the other way around.
Yeah, you know, in a way, but let's face it, we're not the master of the politicians. We never will be. So I don't really pretend to try to influence them. I'm not going to try to say, hey, you work for me. Obey me. No, they're the ones with all the cops and the guns and the armies and you know what? But I can avoid them.
So you're not going to go to the politicians and wave their flag at them really hard and hope that they will change?
I'm so mad at you, I'm going to wave your own flag at you hard.
Yeah. King George III knew that he was in trouble when the colonists quit waving his flag and they adopted their own. They adopted a new one. Seriously, I bet that happened. I bet when, you know, the letters were being exchanged from the Continental Congress to the Parliament and the King and all these different things, the Olive Branch Petition, and all this stuff, I bet the first question that he asked was, okay, yeah, they're uppity, but which flag are they waving this week? And after that, you know, but anyway, so.
It's a good question.
It's really interesting to see that government is really not in control of a whole heck of a lot. The reason that people don't go on murder sprees is because they don't want to kill other people. They don't want to murder. They know that it's wrong. But when you look at the degree of offenses and violations, it's, you know, the things that are ignored are really the minor things. The lesser degree of you know, bad behavior, as it's referred to. Like, cannabis laws, largely ignored. Speeding laws, largely ignored. You know, but when it comes to actually committing real violations against another person, not as widely violated. And I personally think that a significant portion of the robbery and murders are directly related to government, such as the war on drugs, also known as No Cartel or Police Agency Left Behind.
That's
more Freedom Fiends. Hour two coming up.
Worms!
Porcupine Freedom Festival is coming, and Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has teamed up with Freedom's Phoenix and Bitcoin Not Bombs to bring you some surprises this year. Tired of the same old political promises? We're running some candidates that you can feel warm and fuzzy about wasting your vote on. This year, embrace your disillusionment by stopping by Vending Site 41 for the Vote for Nobody primary, and snag key items to help you survive the wild anarchy of Porkfest. Remember, vote early, vote often, and vote harder.
area re-education center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Peace Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. And welcome back to the second hour. Good morning, Sturgis. Good morning, Belfouche. And this is the Freedom Fiends, your daily worms. Dose of liberty. Yeah, worms. Your daily dose of liberty and worms. So anyway, first hour we were talking about Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And for those of you that missed it, you can always go to freedomfiends.com and catch up on the first hour. Or call your local station and say, yeah, we need more Freedom Fiends. But anyway, so there's a... There's a lot going on with police misconduct in Philadelphia. And Jim, if you could bring us up to speed on that. I see that you sent me some articles about the asset forfeiture and everything else.
Well, it, you know, we could talk forever about this because there's so many stories about cops being arrested for shaking down people in addition to what their duties tell them to do that. But Mayor Nutter, he presides over a horrible, horrible racist institution known as the Philadelphia Police Department. To me, the worst thing they do is their stop and frisk program, which is what they basically do. They harass 200,000 people a year. And it's just like you up against the wall. And they just pat people down to flex their power, and they just brutalize an entire community. And it's always the poorest communities that are victims of this, where it's very difficult for people to assert their rights because a lot of people are on probation. People don't know their rights. They can't afford lawyers. So literally hundreds of thousands of times a year, it's like you up against the wall. Now, one of these stops got so out of hand recently. This was, I guess, about a year ago or maybe 2 years now. It's been a little while. This policewoman was doing this to a young teenager. She ruptured his testicle. Okay. I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing so I'm not crying. She literally, this boy had to go to the hospital for surgery for this treatment, and this woman is still on the job. She did not lose her job over this incident. She investigated herself and determined that crushing this boy's testicle was appropriate under the circumstance. So
let me play status advocate. Is it possible that this was a pre-existing condition and it was just at this particular point that the guy fell out and dropped to the ground in miserable pain and agony?
It's theoretically possible. Like, or he just didn't notice that he had a ruptured testicle until he had this police encounter. Then, yes.
Okay, so what pray tell was she looking for in there?
Well, they're looking to intimidate. That's what they'd like to do. They're just intimidating people, you know, fishing for, you know, to see if somebody might incriminate themselves or try to provoke somebody into running. I mean, what they try to do, and I, you know, I wasn't there, so I'm kind of guessing, but a typical strategy, they want to provoke you into resisting. Okay, now they've got some real charges because they have to manufacture crime. So they, you know, by treating somebody a little bit rough, they might make him flinch. Oh, you flinched. Oh, we got a resistor, you know. Give him some stick time, whatever it takes. I mean, and this is a child, okay, a child. This is what they do. This is what they do. So, you know, here's another statistic. Since 2009, Philly PD has settled 29 shooting lawsuits for a total of $13 million. Over $13 million has been paid out in shooting lawsuits, which is, compared to other cities, is off the scale. That's they're looking at like, this is like 600 lawsuits, okay, where there might be less than 50 in San Francisco or Austin, Texas.
But that money comes out of, I don't know what, the police officer's pension fund, their own pockets, maybe the department's operating budget.
Well, you know what,
it's not like the taxpayer would get put on the hook for picking up the cost of other people's misconduct, right?
Well, and you know what? You're absolutely right. It's not, to some extent, it is the tax victims, but they have another way to pay for this, and they call it asset forfeiture. Okay, so they can use asset forfeiture, which, for those that aren't familiar with this sort of euphemism, where it's basically just really, really big stealing. And what they do is, you don't even have to be charged with a convicted of a crime. They say, you know what? We think you bought that house with drug money. We're taking it. Sorry. we need it now. Philadelphia has led the country as this method of revenue generating. They seize millions of dollars have been seized this way, by taking cash, homes. They even have a list of stuff to look for. They're like, look, those old computers, we can't even sell them on eBay. It's not worth the time. We want flat screen TVs. We want houses. We want expensive cars, stuff they can, like any thief, right? They think, like, only steal the stuff that we can get rid of. I mean, it is it's quite a racket, and they're getting away with it on a humongous scale.
But Jim, I am sure that there's due process and there's a trial before this happens, right?
Of course not. No, no.
We do know that it's actually the money that's guilty, and it's the money that's on trial. And when it comes to money, money has to prove its own innocence.
There's no constitution to protect money, right? It's not there for that. But I'm reading some statistics. Philadelphia steals $6 million a year using this heist method. They've altogether generated a staggering $64 million in forfeiture proceeds. Okay, which is 1/5 of the DA's office entire budget. Okay. So what's a few lawsuits, right? If you get sued for $13 million, you stole $64 million. So it all comes out in the end.
Hmm.
Wow. Not a bad racket, right?
Now, what about money that is generated because, you know, people violated traffic laws? Because everybody knows that if you don't wear your seatbelt, or if you make a turn on red when there's no other cars around, the only rightful remedy is for you to give the government money.
Well, you know, of course they've got that racket down too. But, you know, they say, like, oh, government can't do anything right. Well, when it comes to shaking down people, they've got that down to a science, okay? They can be really good at certain activities, and the heist is definitely one they have mastered.
Yeah, interestingly enough, I had a situation where I had to call the cops years ago. I was still a statist at the time, and it was to report a B&E at my apartment. And I was talking to the dispatcher, and the dispatcher told me, yeah, it's going to be up to like 45 minutes to an hour or something like that. The officer is out on a stop right now. And when he showed up, I was, hey, what kind of day have you had? Traffic stops. So in responding to what they advertised doing, serving and protecting, you know, and dealing with real crime, I had to wait an hour because this useless parasite was out generating revenue from motorists, like a highwayman. And then, because the dollar value of the stolen goods was not high enough, they didn't dust for prints, they didn't do any investigating. All they did was write out a report and say, all right, do you need a report for insurance purposes? I could have called the insurance company and had an adjuster come out. It probably wouldn't have taken as long, or at the very least could have scheduled at a convenient time, and I would have had the same result.
Well, of course. But, I mean, what you asked them to do costs money. Oh, processing fingerprints, that's going to cost me money. And it's going to take time away from me robbing somebody else. I mean writing citations on somebody else. So not only is that going to waste their time and not making money, but it's going to reduce their ability to generate revenue elsewhere. So It's all, I mean, it's just incentives, right? It's no surprise that you're not really high on the priority list. I mean, in my business, you know what, the clients, you know, I try to treat every client, you know, wonderfully, but the bigger clients are going to be, I'm going to handle their work first because that's where the revenue is. So,
yeah. Yeah. You know, it's really interesting. Had they recovered the stolen goods, they probably would have said, okay, we recovered the stolen goods. Here's your half of the stolen goods back, and we're going to keep our half, you know, because we're going to put it on eBay and try and get some revenue out of it. Just call it civil asset forfeiture.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, why not? You know, because let's face it, they feel entitled to anything. Anything they see, they can just grab. Did you see that video recently of, I think it was California, where this mayor called in a raid on a medical marijuana clinic? And there's a, at first you see them like disabling cameras, but they didn't get them all. So it was recorded. They're eating the marijuana edibles. And the guy made this horrible, or it might have been a woman, a police woman, made this horrible comment about how she wanted to kick this amputee in her stump, like making fun of an amputee patient and making these horrible comments, eating the merchandise in this medical marijuana clinic. Turns out the mayor is accused of taking a bribe from a rival clinic.
Oh, my. Yeah, I did see that video. I thought it was really neat when they were fist bumping each other and playing darts and rifling through, grabbing stuff. I didn't see them put anything in their pockets, but I was looking up. I was watching it on my cell phone, so that could have happened. But, yeah, those are the hero cops. Those are ones that are protecting us. Those folks are the line between us and total chaos.
Well, you know, hey, you know, it's the price of civilization, right? You know, it's not perfect, but it's better than I don't know. I'm sure it's better than something. I'm not sure what.
Yeah, the price of civilization is awful expensive. The price of civilization is having to deal with uncivilized people.
Hey, you like roads, right? Come on.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Freedom Fiends, and we are the only thing standing between you and chaos. This is Lou, and I'm joined by Jim Babb. And I recently got into a couple discussions with a couple different people about the thin blue line in the local police department being the only thing standing between us and chaos. There's this belief that without the local police department, there would be hordes of roving marauders going around and I don't know, maybe driving armored vehicles and dressed like paramilitaries and just, you know, shaking down people and taking their money and taking their property and everything else. And what's up with that, Jim?
Well, it sounds, you know, what this fear that people have. Yeah, like somebody might. Like, let's just say harass hundreds of thousands of people on the sidewalk or steal entire houses and millions of dollars of property with, you know. Yeah, I could see why people would be afraid of that. So they created an institution just to do that.
Yeah, because I know deep down in your heart of hearts that if there were no police around, you would go into the poor neighborhoods and grab young men's junk and rupture it and require them to have surgery. And then you would investigate yourself and determine that you did nothing wrong.
Right. So, you know, but hey, you know, right. That's, it's just funny how people really, cling to this idea that you know, yeah, it's not perfect, but you know, they make these excuses. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you know, I've actually thought about running for office in Philly. Like, I could run for mayor. What do you think about this as a platform? I don't want to scare anybody with anything too radical, but I was going to suggest a 10% reduction in child testicle crushings as just a first start, you know, to sort of ease people into the idea. Think that would be too radical?
That sounds a little bit extreme. Maybe 4 or 5% reduction in child testicle crushing.
Baby steps.
I don't know if we could do 10%. I mean, that's
okay. Yeah, I thought it might be a little bit radical. You know, and maybe reduce the house stealing to, I don't know, $5 million a year. And then we could reduce the number of police murders, you know, maybe by 1%.
Whoa. You're dangerous. You're a crazy man. I don't know what you're thinking. Society would just implode without civil asset forfeiture, testicle crushing, and, you know, just beatings and murders.
Well, and don't forget eminent domain, which is another big win for Philadelphia bureaucrats. If they don't steal it through your taxes, if they don't get you with some kind of a fine for some kind of law you violated, and if they don't get your asset forfeiture, sometimes they just come in and say, you know what, that whole neighborhood, it's ours. And I've seen that happen too. Entire neighborhoods, it's ours. Because somebody's cousin is a developer. Well, we want to put up an apartment building here, and we think we'll get more tax revenue. So, sorry guys, like what you did with the place, you're out.
You know what? It sounds like you're advocating property rights, and there's just absolutely no place for that in our society because we are all in this together. And quite frankly, you know, if these politically connected entrepreneurs, you know, can't acquire these things on their own, then why shouldn't the government take it from somebody and redistribute that wealth to somebody else?
Right. It's selfish to think that just because you bought something and just because you worked hard to build it or remodel it or paint it or develop it or you know, that somehow someone else shouldn't have the same right to that as you. So, you know, I guess it's just something that I guess I should just learn to accept that I shouldn't be so selfish.
Well, just remember that eminent domain is constitutional.
Exactly. So it has to be good, right?
Yeah, it has to be for the public good, because, like I said, we're all in this together.
Right. And since public good is kind of confusing, I guess what we really need are some, if we could have a group of elite people figure it out for us, I think what the public good is, that's probably good for the public, right? Just you put some people together in a room and just give them the power to make the decisions for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense because I mean, there's no way that the public could determine what's in the public good.
Right. That's just
crazy talk.
Yeah. That's crazy talk.
Yeah. But when it comes to police, like I said, I've recently gotten into some debates with, government worshiping, bootlicking, just absolute status, and that's why I really can't stand talking to Republicans. So, yeah.
They just want to be part of the herd.
Yeah, when we come back, we're going to talk about some solutions to this.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Pipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And Ask Me About My Worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
So, Jim, the only thing standing between you and chaos is the local police department. I recently had a discussion, and this was in real life with a coworker. And nice thing about where I work or where I live is even the Republicans, even the white Republicans, are sick and tired of cops and the revenue generation and everything else. And for those of you that are just tuning in, we've talked about civil asset forfeiture. We've talked about a police raid on a legal dispensary where, surprisingly, the mayor, you said, was arrested for receiving bribes or kickbacks from a...
He's being sued for it. So okay. I would have to say, I guess this is allegedly, but the mayor definitely ordered the raid on this facility.
Legal and facility.
Yeah. The accusation is that a rival that a rival said, Hey mayor, here's some money, but I got this competition problem. Can you help me?
Okay, so, yeah. All right, so we have some people that went to government and purchased permission to do what they had the right to do all along, or what they would have the right to do if not for government. And what else have we talked about? Oh, yeah, stop and frisk, bombing neighborhoods, murders, violence, lawsuits that are paid out by the taxpayer and not the police, retirement funds. So anyway, this woman asked me, she says, okay, and this is a legitimate question. So what about when the child is kidnapped and the police go and rescue the child? And this is a legitimate question. My response to that is, how much time are the police officers going and rescuing kidnapped children? I mean, is this happening like 12 times a day in a small city like mine where there's only a couple thousand people?
Oh, Lou, I think it's at least once a day on television.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, here's the thing. How much of their time are they spending actually helping people compared to being out revenue generating? How many officers are going to go their entire career without rescuing a kidnapped child? How many officers are never going to arrest a rapist or a serial killer or a murderer? How many officers are going to do nothing but generate revenue, harass people, measure privacy fences to make sure that they're the proper allowed height? What the police advertise themselves as being protectors. The mafia advertises themselves as being businessmen. And if you think that the mafia just runs restaurants and nightclubs and stuff like that, no, that is their money laundering operation. That is their false front to make it look like they run, you know, I'm doing air quotes here, legitimate businesses. What they spend most of their time doing is extortion, black markets, and all this other stuff. And quite frankly, the black markets wouldn't exist without the government. But anyway, so, like the mafia uses money laundering, those rare occasions where a kidnapped child is rescued, that's violence laundering. That is their false front to make it look like they are there to serve and protect.
Well, plus, and let's just say in that like one in a billion chance that they are called to rescue a child hostage, what are the odds of them actually just shooting that kid in a botched operation anyway, right? Just bringing the cops into that situation is probably going to put the kid in more danger than if you just negotiated with the kidnappers privately.
Yeah, I mean, that is a possibility. But let's go back to how many of these missing persons, how many of these missing children are actually recovered? What is the success rate? Because if you're going to talk about the job that cops do, or that they allegedly do, you have to show that they're doing it well to justify their existence. You know, if you're going to say that, you know, the police go out and 2% of the time they accomplish what they're supposed to be doing, you know, rescuing kidnapped victims, finding murderers and things like that. If they're only doing it a small percentage of the time, you can't really tout that as a success, because ultimately it's results that count.
So how do your coworkers respond to these questions?
Well, I laid out the argument that I did, and she just kind of had that glazed over look on her face, like, oh my God, you're right, but I've always been told that police are good and they're our friends and they're there to help us, so I don't want to believe what you're saying, even though I know it to be true in my heart and in my mind.
So you brought her to the point of cognitive dissonance, basically, where her logical mind is telling her that you're correct, but her whole lifetime of conditioning is creating an emotional barrier to accepting that information.
Yeah, pretty much. Actually, I think she accepted it reluctantly, but she could always hit refresh and go back to her default setting at any time.
And it always comes down to, well, you know, they always have a story. Well, you know what? There's, you know, this cop helped me change my tire one time. You know, like there's always that one anecdote, you know, like, well, I have a friend and the cop got her cat down out of a tree, you know. Okay, so let's therefore 200,000 stop and frisks a year is justified in Philly, right? Because
yeah, so one cop got a cat out of a tree without using his gun.
That's theoretical.
One cop helped change a tire instead of shooting it out. And I also pointed out the story of what was it? I think it was down in Ohio somewhere, Cleveland, Columbus, some city that started with a C. There were two girls that were abducted, and they weren't found until 10 years later. The kidnapper kept them in his basement. So really, if the job of the police is to protect and to rescue kidnapped victims and to find murderers and arrest rapists and things like this, don't you think that they would be better able to do that if they weren't wasting their time on revenue generating, writing tickets for not wearing a seatbelt, for violating some arbitrary number, you know, posted on a sign?
Right. I mean, but of course they have quotas to guarantee their revenue. I mean, could you imagine what would your city look like if the fire department had a quota? They're like, hey, if we don't, you know, we got to put out 20 fires this week. All right, guys, get the gas cans, you know.
It would look like Detroit.
Yeah. Thank God the fire department doesn't have a quota. Jeez, that'd be horrible.
Here's a example. You're self-employed, so you work directly for your customers. If instead of doing the work that they pay you to do, you just like sat on FaceBeast all day and put up cat pictures and things like that and not did what you advertised that you were going to do, that's kind of similar to the cops not going out and arresting serial killers, which there aren't that many of, and they usually, you know, well, obviously they've killed enough people to be labeled serial killers, so, you know, obviously the cops didn't nip that in the bud. But rather than screwing around generating revenue and harassing people and taking down legal licensed dispensaries, what if the cops just like concentrated on doing what they advertise themselves as doing, actually serving and protecting?
I don't think a monopoly police force would ever have the incentive to do that. I think it's only going to be a complete change in the paradigm that makes that kind of service available. And, you know, like the company you mentioned earlier, the threat, what's the name of the company in Detroit? The Threat Management Center. Like, what is it?
Threat Management Center. Their website is threatmanagementcenter.com.
Right, and which is fascinating for folks. If you want to find out, like, could you have a business that actually protects, that actually is there to do the all the stuff that, that the police get credit for doing without having to shake down innocent people and without robbing people, without stealing, killing, maiming, macing, testicle rupturing? It's happening. It's real. It's not theoretical. It's available.
And to top it off, they patrol some of the worst neighborhoods in Detroit, and they provide security for neighborhoods. Now, it's not just the rich neighborhoods. It's, regular neighborhoods. It's the poor. So usually the status rebuttal of, well, without government police, what about the poor? Well, tell me how the poor have it right now.
The victims right now. Yeah. Now they are basically just a resource to be harvested. That's it. It could not be any worse for the poor under the current paradigm.
Yeah. Or here's another thought. Why would the poor people spend money out of their own pockets to contract with Threat Management Center or a similar type firm for that matter? If they're being taken care of by the cops, why would this happen? It wouldn't. So the fact that even the poor people will hire a firm like Threat Management Center shows that there's an actual market demand for security and protection.
Especially when it actually works. Like, I'm sure a lot of people, they're living in these communities and they just think, well, I guess I'll never be able to be really safe walking home at night. Right. They probably just accepted the fact that, well, this is just a bad neighborhood and it's always going to be that way. And there's nothing I can do about it. And the police don't care and they never will. And I won't even bother calling them. And I'm just going to get robbed every year. Right. People they've accepted it because they don't even know there's an alternative.
Yeah. Now, I will say that it's easier for people in Detroit to hire a firm like Threat Management since half of the people that live there are refusing to pay property taxes.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Basically, what's happening there is they're saying, no, we're not going to pay property taxes. You guys offer services, you charge an amount for it. The services are lousy and the price is high. So half of the city doesn't pay property taxes.
Excellent.
And it gets even better. When their homes go up for auction, they wind up buying them back for a fraction of the property tax cost.
See, there's always a workaround. The human spirit is you just can't conquer it. No matter how hard these ridiculous little petty tyrants try, human spirit prevails. There's always a workaround. There's always a way to get around that damaged part of the system. You just reroute and live your life.
Yeah, I think the whole of human history has been getting around government. And their edicts, their declarations.
Think of the innovation it's generated.
Yeah, it's amazing. More Freedom Fiends after this.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
This is Lou. I'm joined by Jim Babb, and this is the final segment, Redemption, the Third Act. You had a subject that you wanted to talk about, Jim. What was it called? Operation Overmed, I think it was?
Yeah, you know, it's like we talk about all this, you know, negative police stuff and everything, and it, you know, kind of gets you down, and you think, well, what are you going to do about it, right? Are you going to call your politician and beg for a change? Well, not me, you know, and I don't think that's really your style either, Lou. I just came across a project by a fellow Philadelphian. His name's Mike Whiter, and he is a Marine who is in the Iraq War. He ended up suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, and he was treated by the VA, and they put him on antidepressants. And at one point, he says he was on 40 different medications, including methadone for chronic pain. So really screwed him up. And he started using medical marijuana after watching a documentary a couple years ago. And he says, quote, he says, I felt more relaxed after one joint than I had after tons of combinations of pharmaceuticals. He said, I threw away my pills and my quality of life is better than it has been in years. Well, what he's done is created a photo essay, and his website is mikewhiter.com, and you can check this out, and it's getting a lot of news. He's been photographing veterans with their medications, or, you know, kind of showing a comparison and contrast between these pharmaceutical drugs and alternatives like medical marijuana. And the images he's come up with are very moving. And I just think this is exactly the kind of activism that I like to see, because it's using the arts, it's using his skill as a photographer, it's communicating on an emotional level. It's these images are extremely powerful, and I just want to, you know, give him a shout out, encourage people to check this out. If there's other veterans out there, he wants you to contact him and be part of this photo essay. I was just really moved by it. Did you get a chance to see any of these photos, Lou?
No, I have not. The first I heard about it was when you told me about it a little while ago.
Yeah, it's been getting a lot of interesting news, and you know, it's tough to describe on the radio, but we'll make sure there's a link in the show notes. But it's pictures of soldiers like holding up pills and marijuana, or and just showing like all the pills they're taking, or posing, you know, with a medicine bottle and a revolver. You know, the suicide rate, like 20, like veterans are committing suicide like 22 times a day. Okay, and this is a big concern for Mike, and he thinks that a lot of it has to do with, you know, they're getting all screwed up over there, then they're coming back and taking all these, getting all these prescriptions, which have chance of suicide as one of the side effects. So it's a really dangerous combination for these guys. And Mike has found an alternative that works for him. And you can't look at these images and think about this and listen to what he says and say, oh, yeah, we need to have marijuana be illegal. Of course. Right. He's really hitting hard with this photo essay.
Yeah. For those that don't know, I am a Army veteran, and I know more people, more veterans that have died at home from suicide than I do soldiers that died in combat. I know more people that have PTSD, just Gulf War syndrome, all these varying diseases and mental illnesses and all these different things that were incurred specifically because of their military service. I know that I talk some trash about the military from, you know, just following orders and blind patriotism and stuff like that. I try not to judge the deceived as harshly as I judge the deceivers. I'm borrowing that line from Ben Stone. When it comes to taking care of these guys, if you take away the options that work for them, and these medications, these pharmaceuticals have massive side effects, as you just pointed out, with suicide being one of them. If they have something that works for them, if you are like Mitt Romney, this is, well, I don't believe that medical marijuana can help you out, therefore, I don't think you should be allowed to do it. If you are one of these people that is, you know, opposed to medical cannabis and all these other things, What are you more concerned about? Are you more concerned with obedience to government and the declarations, or are you concerned with what works? When it comes to security and protection, is it more important to you that you have government, police, and law enforcement, or that you have security and protection? If it works, does it matter where it comes from?
Exactly. I mean, what kind of a scumbag would see this, hear this testimony from Mike Wider, and say, "I'm sorry, you should be put in a cage for solving your problem," right? Like, what kind of awful scumbag could hold that position? I mean, just you'd have to be, you're just the lowest form of human life at that point. So, and that's what I think is just so great about this project. It's not a letter to Congress. It's not begging anybody. It's just putting these images out to the public, letting everybody see it. Let everybody decide for themselves. Then when they, after seeing this, then they hear Mitt Romney talk about how people like Mike should be in jail. Then they go, "Oh, that's right. Mitt Romney's a scumbag, or Barack Obama's a scumbag, or Hillary Clinton's a scumbag, or all of these guys that are in the pocket of the pharmaceutical industry." So that's why I just, you know, I love to see people use the arts. I just love it because it is so efficient, so great to see people communicate this way. I just wanted to definitely bring attention to this.
Yeah, to those that want to be obedient to government rather than what works, all I have to say to you is this. Who's a good boy? Yeah, who's a good boy? All right, sit up, bang, fetch, go get my slippers. Who's a good boy? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You know what? They're not scumbags. They're not the lowest form of human life. They're dogs. And if the leash fits, wear it.
I think that's a mean thing to say about dogs.
Sorry. I'll try to knock it off. Begging for a longer leash is not activism. It's just begging.
That's the fact. But you know what? You know, I get excited when I see people taking these steps, people solving their own problems. He didn't say, I'm just going to have to write letters until the VA gives me the right prescription. He found his own solution, and now he's helping other people in the same situation, and it's a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is. Are we clear?
767 or